Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Aarti Drugs Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Before we begin, a brief disclaimer: this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performances, and it may involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, COO and CFO from Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning to all stakeholders, and thank you for joining us today for Aarti Drugs Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Harshit Savla, our Joint Managing Director.
Morning, everyone.
Mr. Harit Shah, Full-Time Director, Aarti Drugs Limited. Mr. Isha Savla, Managing Director, Pinnacle Life Sciences, and SGA, our Investor Relations Advisors. I hope you have had the opportunity to view our financial results and investor presentation for the quarter and the half-year ended 30th September 2025, which are available on the stock exchanges and our websites. Let me begin with some notable operational and business highlights before moving to the financial highlights. Q2 FY 2026 marked continued progress on our strategic priorities of backward integration, capacity expansion, and strengthening cost competitiveness, even as the broader industry witnessed soft domestic demand trends, particularly in the antibiotic category. Export demand, however, remained robust, offsetting the weakness in the domestic market and contributing to improvement in overall margin performance. To begin with, our new manufacturing facility at Saryaka, Gujarat, commenced commercial production on September 4, 2025, and is currently in its early operational phase. This facility manufactures dimethylamine, monomethylamine, trimethylamine, and their derivatives, key intermediates used in the production of various downstream APIs and specialty chemicals, including antidiabetic products such as metformin. The facility has already commenced operations and achieved expected performance benchmarks during initial ramp-up. Around 40%-50% of captive requirements are now being met internally, and once the facility reaches full utilization by the end of FY 2026, we expect to achieve 100% captive consumption for our antidiabetic series. The MMA and TMA output are being monetized through external sales, further diversifying our revenue mix. As this facility stabilizes, it will structurally enhance raw material security, improve cost efficiency, and contribute meaningfully to margin expansion over the medium term. The plant is expected to scale up to fulfill the entire captive demand over the next 6 to 12 months. At present, production is primarily catering to domestic demand. However, we aim to expand into export markets as volume scales and opportunities rise. This facility marks a significant milestone in our backward integration journey, aimed at reducing external raw material dependency, enhancing supply chain reliability, and improving long-term margin resilience. Looking ahead, our focus will remain on ramping up capacity utilization at Saryaka and stabilizing production of new intermediates, particularly those supporting our antidiabetic portfolio. This is expected to bring structural improvement in cost efficiency and gross margin stability in the coming quarters. Moving to the salicylic acid chain, our Tarapur facility continues to progress through its stabilization phase with consistent improvement in operational performance and capacity ramp-up. Production visibility is improving, with 300 tons per month achievable in the near term and a targeted ramp-up to 500 tons per month for Q4 FY 2026. we expect the plant to turn EBITDA positive once it crosses around 800 tons per month. This vertical will also supply our upcoming 400 tons per month salicylate line, enabling downstream integration, better overhead absorption, and improved margin stability. Together, these projects aim to convert India's import dependence into domestic supply, with the salicylate chain emerging as a key value driver. Moving back to our API segment, we are also witnessing early signs of stability in global API pricing, which should support both volume growth and price recovery in H2 FY26. On the regulatory and compliance front, we are in the process to receive EU certifications for several key products from our large-scale plants, allowing us to shift EU-registered products to lower-cost facilities and thereby expand export margins. We are targeting metformin filings in the US market post-FY26 once ongoing validation processes are completed, an important milestone in our plan to re-enter regulated markets with higher margin products. We are also advancing on our BIS standard approval, which will support domestic competitiveness and strengthen import substitution efforts. During the quarter, we also received a voluntary closure direction from the Maharashtra Pollution Control Board for the chlorosulfonation process at our Tarapur T150 unit following an isolated HCl gas leakage incident on September 8, 2025. Importantly, no injuries or casualties were reported. The closure was a precautionary measure under applicable environmental regulations, and we have already completed a comprehensive safety audit and are working closely with the relevant authorities to secure the required approvals. This has no material, financial or operational impact as we have adequate inventory and alternate sourcing arrangement in place, and all other processes at the Tarapur unit continue to operate normally. Additionally, CRISIL ESG ratings assigned an independent rating of CRISIL ESG 52 to RG Drugs, reflecting the company's steady progress in environmental management, governance standards, and social responsibility. Our broader ESG roadmap remains focused on energy transition to renewable sources, waste reduction, and safety enhancement. The upcoming solar project being developed through our JV with Brazil Green Power is an important step towards reducing our power cost and carbon footprint while supporting our long-term sustainability commitments. Now let's discuss some consolidated financials for Q2 FY26. Revenue stood at rupees 652.9 crores as compared to rupees 599.8 crores in Q2 FY25. Reflecting a growth of 9% YOY, driven by favorable export volumes. EBITDA stood at Rs. 84.4 crores versus Rs. 68.5 crores in Q2 FY25, up 23% year-on-year, with EBITDA margin at 12.9% versus 11.4% in Q2 FY25, an expansion of 150 basis points. PAT stood at rupees 45.2 crore as compared to 35 crores in Q2 FY25, up 29% year-on-year, translating to a PAT margin of 6.9% versus 5.8% last year, an improvement of 110 basis points. The capex incurred during Q2 FY26 was approximately rupees 45.6 crores. For H1 FY26, revenue stood at Rs. 1,243.7 crores as compared to Rs. 1,156.3 crores in H1 FY25, reflecting a growth of 8% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at Rs. 158.8 crores versus Rs. 134.6 crores in H1 FY25, up 18% year-on-year, with EBITDA margin at 12.8% versus 11.6% in H1 FY25, an expansion of 120 basis points. PAT stood at Rs. 99.1 crore as compared to 68.3 crores in Q2 FY25, up 45% year-on-year, translating to a PAT margin of 8% versus 5.9% last year, an improvement of 210 basis points. Total debt during H1 FY26 also reduced by rupees 41 crores to 571 crores in total, leading to reduction in our finance cost and a record low debt to equity ratio of 0.39. With respect to standalone business, revenue stood for Q2 FY26, revenue stood at rupees 578.9 crores versus 543.1 crores in Q2 FY25, growth of 7% year-on-year basis. Standalone business contributed 89% to the consolidated revenue. 58% of the standalone revenue came from domestic market and 42% from the export market. Within the API business, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed 36.1%, anti-diabetic around 15.3%, anti-protozoal 18.8%, anti-inflammatory 11.8%, anti-fungal 11.7%, and the rest contributed 6.4% to total API sales. Let's discuss about formulation segment. Revenues from formulation stood at rupees 82.4 crores in Q2 FY26 compared to 65.6 crores in Q2 FY25, up 26% year-on-year basis. Exports contributed 68% to this revenue. For H1 FY26, formulation revenue was rupees 162.8 crores compared to 136.6 crores in H1 FY25, up 19%, with exports accounting for 63% of total formulation sales. With that, I'd now like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning and thank you for being with the opportunity. So my question is just a bit understanding on your R&D pipeline, commercialization timeline on your API. So sir, you have mentioned developing complex APIs and formulations for regulated markets like the US and Europe. Could you please highlight 2 to 3 key products expected to be commercialized in the next 12 to 18 months and their potential contribution to revenue that we are expecting?
Yes, for the complex US and other regulatory markets products, I would like to ask Vishwa to highlight few of our R&D products in formulations.
So we will be commercializing first product in US in this quarter, which is bicalutamide. And we are also expecting to commercialize few anti-diabetic products in Europe, UK and other regulated markets, ex-US, between the next 6 to 9 months. So these products, these new products combined, should give us an additional top line of anywhere between 60 to 70 crores.
My second question, you're continuing with the question,
sir? I'd like to add upon that. Means definitely this was a near term. We have a long pipeline for next 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And as far as our standalone segment is concerned, so there, we are in the process of formulating a new product portfolio for regulatory as well as for non-regulatory markets in the API segment. But this is not restricted to API segment. We are also focusing on the derivatives of the two main greenfield projects which we have started. And we would try to identify a few key derivative products, large derivative products from these two chemistry.
Just a bit of follow-up on this only on the domestic side. So, like, while export demand remains strong, so, like, what we are seeing in the domestic side, especially in antibiotics, continues to stay soft. Are you witnessing any recovery trends in the domestic API market? And so, see demand for key therapy tick categories.
Okay. So as far as overall demand is concerned, it is fine, but in the antibiotic category, we did face issues in few of the products. What we now Q3 is typically a lean quarter anyways for the acute therapy. So we hope that from Q4 onwards, there should be some slight pickup in the domestic demand. But we'll come to know within 2 to 3 months.
Okay. And last one, bookkeeping question, then I'll jump into the queue. So, like, is there any you have to put any margin guidance for going forward? You have to put EBITDA margin or net margin?
Yeah. So right now, on the standalone basis, we slightly crossed 13%, and pre-COVID levels, we were doing 15% to 16%. No doubt, the industry has changed, the markets have changed, the competitors have changed over past so many years. But definitely, we have certain drivers which we are working on, which can help us to take these EBITDA margins on a consolidated basis back to 15%. It will take some time, maybe in sequentially quarter on quarter. We hope to see continuous improvements in these margins.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, and best wishes for myself, and good luck for the coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pramod Dangi from Ratnatrayi Investment Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, thanks, and congratulations for the, you know, good set of numbers in terms of recovery in the margin. I think, my question is on the two fronts.
Pramod?
How we are-
Pramod, I'm not able to hear you clearly.
One minute, huh?
Is it better now?
Yeah, much better.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, on the pricing side, what we are seeing today, is the price bottomed out or year-on-year, they are flat, they are going up, quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year on the API side? That's first. Second, is it what is the volume growth in the API this quarter?
Okay. So, year-on-year basis, if you talk about the volume growth, so domestic was quite flat, frankly speaking, because of lackluster demand in the antibiotic category. In fact, there was slight degrowth of around couple of %, but export did fantastic. Means we had more than 30% volume growth in export sales. So it got compensated. So overall, we had around 9.33% volume growth in the API segment in this quarter.
Okay. Okay. So that means 2%, so 2% around negative contribution from the pricing, if I look at from the seven and nine. And second, you said that our competitive business have changed, but at the same time, we have to foreign operation integration, products, we have a new specialty product. So, in terms of the margin, if I look at 12 months of year or 18 months of year, should we be, you know, crossing the pre-COVID level?
Yeah. As far as margins are concerned, so on the standalone basis, we already, we've just crossed 13%, not too much, just you can say 13%. So couple of %, we still see. No doubt, you know, we are still absorbing around 3.5 crores of losses in salicylic acid. Plus, we just commercialized our Saykha plant for just 1 month, and, you know, initially always the capacity utilization would be low, and that expenses also we have absorbed. So in spite of doing all this, the margin is 13%. So we are quite confident that once we get all these things in order, you know, on a sequential quarter-on-quarter basis, sequentially, our margins should steadily keep on increasing, and our ultimate target should be somewhere between 15%-16%.
The line for the participant is disconnected. The next question is from the line of Candice Pereira from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So, I can see that the other income is very low compared to last year. So will it be in this range only for the second half as well?
Okay. Frankly speaking, I cannot comment on that. But more or less, if you add up the other income for the entire year, it should be steady. Sometimes, you know, it might shift from one quarter to another.
Okay.
For the entire year, it should be steady, but I can't comment. I don't have the number right now with me, unfortunately.
Okay. And any tax rate guidance for FY 26 and 27?
Yeah. So our tax rate will continue to be in that, means all everything inclusive, around 25% tax bracket. So we have already gone into that tax engine. This year, for the first quarter, we had some tax refunds from the previous years, and that is the reason why for the first quarter our tax rate was so low.
Okay.
And we are expecting a little bit more refund, but mostly that should be completed in this financial year only, in Q3, Q4.
Okay, so then it will be in the range of 25%, correct?
But for the next year, it should be ideally in the range of 25%.
Okay, for next year. So that is FY27.
FY27.
Okay. And in the overall revenue guidance range you are providing?
Yeah, actually, we had targeted, you know, in early teens in terms of volume growth when we started the year. Definitely, first two quarters, I mean, first quarter, the demand was quite low, what we saw. In second quarter, the export demand picked up really well, but domestic demand still suffered a little bit, mainly on the account of antibiotic therapy. So, right now, means for this quarter, we made around 6% value growth. For H2, we will definitely aim towards, you know, high single digit value growth for H2 FY26.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanil Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. Hi, sir, good morning. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just have a couple of questions regarding the backward integration. So, how much is the capacity that you have added for this backward integration?
Okay. So, the total methylamine plants is around 60 TPD. We can scale it up to 80 TPD as well.
60
yeah,
TPD?
That is the methylamine capacity.
And what is the total capex amount that is spent on this capex, and what can be the asset turn?
So asset turn. So the thing is, total is roughly, I mean, just to give a ballpark figure, we had told earlier that for both our greenfield projects, we had spent somewhere around 200 crores each, but obviously not everything in a greenfield project goes towards the single product. There are a lot of common amenities which are developed as well. And for both the greenfield projects, this is the phase one of the investments. So still land parcel is a little empty, and we can still go for phase two investments, which will be at much lower capex, but with much higher asset turn. So for the first phase, I would say, the asset turn will not be great. It will be in the range of 1 to 1.5. But the thing is, the reason for that is, it is first phase. So a lot of common facilities are being constructed, which we require heavy capex in the phase one.
Okay, understood. And will this capacity be fully utilized for captive consumption, or will some things will be sold outside?
Our main idea was to go for captive consumption, but this chemistry has side chain products, you know, which we will need to sell outside.
Okay. So can you give a ballpark range? How much will be captively consumed and how much will be sold?
Ballpark would be our... roughly 50 to 50% we will try to consume capital of the total.
Okay, 50%. Understood. Okay, that's from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Jainam Gelani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. So, sir, in our earlier call, we had mentioned that we should be growing by 15% CAGR for FY26 and FY27. And now we are saying that around FY26 revenue growth should be in the single digit. So do we expect that FY27 to be in the higher 20% range and maintain our guidance, or we expect to decrease our guidance for the year?
Yeah. Interesting question. So the thing is, the negative rate variance is now behind us. So there won't be any negative rate variance. So going forward, if I compare FY27 versus FY26, then we definitely feel that, you know, we can try to hit those mid-teens of volume growth because of, on the account of newer products, newer capacities which are installed. So it does put us in a very favorable position to achieve that kind of growth if everything goes well. The key challenge will remain would be salicylic, the ramp up of salicylic acid. If that happens very quickly and very successfully, then it would be that much easier to achieve those numbers. Along with that, we are also the Saika project is doing pretty well, very well. The customer acceptance of the product is good. In fact, even for salicylic, recently in last 2-3 months, we were able to sell quite a bit of product. So the market acceptance of the product quality is now very good. Now it is just that we are, means you require multiple batteries for a bigger tonnage plant. And for me, we had done modification because it was still under scale up. We had done some modifications in one or two batteries and tried to check the quality, and we have achieved that. Now that it is achieved, what we foresee is, now that we have achieved the quality, so we are just putting up the batteries and setting up the plant. So definitely FY27 looks promising. If everything goes well, then we can try for 15-20% growth for next year.
So what would be the utilization that we are aiming for the salicylic acid? Like if we were to meet our 15-20% growth aspirations, what would be the desired utilization for it?
So more than utilization, I would say means, let's say what our total potential was, means earlier what we had thought of, as compared to that, it should be at least, you know, 50% utilization, roughly.
And sir, any year by which we expect our 15-16% margin guidance that can be achieved?
Any which year you are asking?
No, so as you were guiding earlier that 15-16% margins can be achieved. So which year do you think that it can be, FY27 or FY28?
So yeah, so the thing is, if we achieved all the volumes in FY27 as promised, then at least, you know, towards the end of FY27, we should start hitting that run rate of 15%. That is what we target internally. But it depends on the market condition. But then we can target 15% at the end of FY27. I'm not talking about the entire FY27, but let's say H2 or something like that.
Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of A.M. Loda from Sanmati Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, am I audible? Yes, sir.
Ma'am, I wanted the CAPEX plan to be incurred in FY26 and FY27. This is the question number one.
Okay.
How much CAPEX company is planning to incur in FY26 and FY27?
Yes. So for FY26, we already incurred some, not entirely, but near about 100 crore for the H1, somewhere in late 90s. And we estimate around, you know, 150 crore-200 crore of CapEx investing cash flows in this particular year.
Total 200 crore?
Total 200 crore.
Okay.
We have some expansion plans for metformin as well for next year. If everything goes smoothly, then we might require around that much, similar kind of investment, in FY 2027 as well. For next round of big CapEx, we are, you know, in the process of developing a product portfolio, and as soon as we finalize the blueprint of that, then we will be announcing it to the investors that what kind of further CapEx the company plans to achieve growth from long-term perspective. When I say long-term, more of a, like, you know, 5-10-year perspective.
Sir, my second question is relating to debt. What is the present debt, and how the company is planning to reduce the debt?
Yes. So steadily, means quarter-on-quarter, year-on-year, our debt-to-equity ratio has been coming down. As we said, for standalone, it is 0.33, for consolidated, it is 0.39 debt-to-equity ratio. And the total debt, as it stands on 30th September, on a consolidated basis, is around 571 crore.
Long-term as well as the working capital, both?
Both inclusive. Both inclusive.
570?
571.
71. What is the targets of the company reducing the debt in next FY 2027, and by the end of FY 2026?
Yeah, yeah. So, historically, means, at Aarti Drugs, we had always maintained a debt-to-equity ratio, you know, somewhere between 0.5-0.6. Earlier, it was much higher. But what we, our target is to keep the debt-to-equity ratio between 0.5-0.7. The main reason for that is that it gives us a good leverage, and it also helps us enhance the ROE. What we believe here is that we do give around, you know, 25%-30% of our PAT back to shareholders every year, year-on-year. So with that kind of shareholder payout in mind, and with the higher ROE target, we like to maintain the debt-to-equity ratio at 0.4-0.7, because if the debt goes down too less, then probably we'll do a shareholder payout, something like that. So our target would be in 0.4-0.7 range, debt-to-equity ratio.
That means the company is not planning any debt reduction. You will keep-
No, 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 we don't need-
Debt, yes.
No, we are. We don't need to be, because if you don't do shareholder payouts within two, three years, the debt will be wiped off. But then thing is, we have always been, for last 41 years, dividend-paying company, so we'll continue to do that in future as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I have done.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor from Antifragile Thinking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my questions. Adhish, how satisfied are you with the current yield and purity profile of the output from both the Cyahaca greenfield and the Salicylic greenfield, compared to where the Chinese players are today? Because basically, we are using these as import and substitution, right?
Okay. So there is one Cyahaca. So in Cyahaca, we are doing methylamines. So methylamines is not a import substitute product. Definitely, Salicylic acid, which we had done in Tarapur, that greenfield is absolutely, as you correctly said, it is an import substitute product. So as far as yield and purity profile of Salicylic acid is concerned, as against the Chinese quality material, now, means earlier, earlier, I would say in January, in the start of this calendar year, we were little behind, frankly speaking. But then, with great efforts from our R&D team, now, 2 months back, I would say, we were able to achieve the required purity profile for Salicylic acid. Definitely, we still have to work a lot on the process improvement part, because right now we are focusing on the achieving the quality parameters. So the quality parameters are met. Fortunately, now the product is widely accepted in the market. We have sold to majority of the Salicylic acid customers in India. So the quality is very well accepted as of today. Now we need to focus more on the cost improvement part for salicylic acid. And as far as the Saicha project goes, which we just commercialized in September month, 2 months back, fortunately, there the quality is spot on right from the day one. Obviously, the derivative part, which is under which we are captively consuming, I think we are pretty much there. So Saicha project would, you know, would be online in much faster way than what happened to the salicylic acid project. And for the Saicha project, we are not competing with the imports, but it is the domestic other domestic manufacturers with whom we are competing.
Yes, absolutely. So the broader strategy at the Saicha plant is to reduce dependence on the external suppliers and enhance the gross margins by integrating backward, correct?
Correct.
And when I look at the presentation, so I'm on slide 7, our gross margins have shown a significant improvement of more than 300 basis points. The question really is, what is the driver behind this improvement? Is it this backward integration, or is it better realization, some sort of process improvement? What exactly is kind of contributing to this improvement in gross margins, and what could perhaps be a sustainable gross margin going into fiscal 27, if you can.
Okay. So, as we are referring to that particular slide, so what happened in last 2 to 3 years, I would say, 2 to 3 years, post-FY, from FY 23 onwards, 23, 24, 25, 26 now, you know, because of that Russian war in January 2022, so March quarter 2022, after that, the oil spiked quite, I mean, the prices went up very sharply for first 9 months, and then it started to cool off very sharply when India started purchasing oil from Russia, so the prices cooled off. And since then, the prices of the raw materials have been coming down slowly and steadily. Means it had been coming down slowly across the globe. Now, in that scenario, what happened, because we carry an inventory of around 9200 days in total, including raw materials, WIP, and finished goods. You know, in the declining declining prices scenario, we always take a little bit of hit on the, means the gross margin always take a hit because of the FIFO basis of the accounting. And that was the reason why the margins were artificially compressed for last years, means for the last financial years. Not that our efficiency was less or anything like that, but now that the decline has stopped since last almost 9 months, I would say, 9 to 12 months. The decline is so less, now the volatility has gone down. And because the volatility has gone down, the true margins of the are now coming down. You know, the price variation effect in the gross margins have now been going out. And that is why we can see there is a steady increase in the gross margin. However, I would like to point out that in spite of taking losses, you know, means you can say very little gross margin salicylic acid kind of a product, still we are able to maintain this profit margin numbers. So we are pretty much hopeful that once salicylic acid gets in line, then our P&L statement will improve drastically.
Yes, so you mentioned the number of 800 tons, if I heard
also,
it you correctly. Currently
we are. Can you please rejoin the queue?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, I kindly request everyone to limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Aman Goyal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So my question is related to the next big opportunity in the pharma sector, which is GLP-1. So we are already in the API for antidiabetics through metformin. So are we seeing any potential in entering into GLP-1 intermediaries or API? Are there any internal discussion or early stage evaluation to entering into this opportunity?
Yeah, so in just few minutes back, we discussed that right now, as you pointed out, we are in the early phase discussion to, you know, put a new product portfolio, taking into account growth of, you know, next 5 to 10 years. Not for next 3-4 years, because next 3-4 years growth would be majorly driven by the capacities what we have already installed as of now, with 2 greenfield projects and other brownfield expansions what has been going on in last year and even in this year. So the next round of growth, you know, let's say for company to grow from 5,000 to 10,000 crore of revenue, we are forming a product portfolio. We will take, we will consider these molecules as well, what you mentioned right now, into account, and looking at our strengths and weaknesses and the kind of markets, client profile this certain molecule has, and whether we are already dealing with those clients. Based on all these factors, we will, you know, narrow down the list and start working towards that goal.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Kuge from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, sir. So my question is regarding our cyclamine facility. See, as you mentioned, it's a step in the backward integration. It will enhance your raw material security as well and the margin resilience. So what kind of benefit in terms of percentage or bips in your gross profit margin or at EBITDA level you expect because of this Saykha once the plant is running at a full capacity?
So this means, as we all know, that this particular product chemistry is a product line. As of today, the margins look fantastic, no doubt about that. But as we scale up, you know, the additional capacity which will come in the market, probably it would be prudent to expect some bit of price reduction in this product. But in spite of that, the main reason for us going backward integrated was because we are heavily dependent on one of these raw materials. And that is a big chunk of our overall business. So easily, I would say it will be taking care of 10 to 13% of backward integration of the revenues. The product which we are contributing 10 to 14% of our revenues, that will be further backward integrated by this particular facility. And plus, we'll be selling the side chain products outside, which are quite profitable as well. Definitely, the profit margin, what we expect, is much better than our current aggregate profit margin of the company. I'm actually sorry, because I can't estimate, you know, exactly how much it will add on. If everything goes well, definitely the profit looks very high, but I would not like to, you know, point out that number. Because we don't feel that the things will remain as they are right now. Slowly, the selling prices should come down. But what we still expect is, you know, from this project, at least we should try to make around 18 to 20% EBITDA margins is what we feel from this project, Saykha project.
Okay, 18 to 20, okay. And are we looking for merchant sale of this product as well, or just for the captive consumption? I'm talking about the methyl derivatives.
You're talking about specific derivatives. So if it is specifically for which we have, we are talking about specific intermediate, then the intention is not to sell that intermediate outside. The intention is to captively consume that. But the side chain products, you know, because to manufacture that product, there are a couple of side chain products are automatically produced. So that we will have to sell outside. There is no option. And fortunately, one of the side chain products is going to our group company itself. You know, they have a heavy demand for that SMML product. So fortunately, from the demand perspective, we have seen a very good response from the market. Two products are already secured, because of factory connection, second because of group company sale, and the third one, we are seeing very good acceptance in the market. So we hope that this project will do
better, lot quicker than what we saw in salicylic acid.
So the second product, you mean the case of the caffeine? The key
caffeine? No. What I'm trying to say, there are three methylamines which are being manufactured. MMA, DMA and TMA. So what I was talking about is the DMA derivatives that will go in for anti-diabetic therapy. For MMA and TMA, those will be sold out soon.
Okay. And any, I mean, you can tell the volume or how much volume you were procuring earlier and how much is the replacement as of now?
I gave one number that, around 40 or roughly, it's a plus minus, you can say plus minus 5%. Around 40% of the captive consumption requirement as of today, we are satisfying.
Okay.
But we are trying to ramp it up very quickly. We have to resolve certain issues, equipment related issues. Once they are done, then we can ramp up pretty fast. But main thing is our metformin capacities as of today it stands at 1400 metric tons per month as of today. But we plan to expand that as well, going forward. So once we expand that, then our requirement for captive consumption will go up, and even that we have taken care of in the existing facility.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot, sir. That's all from my side. Yeah.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Okay, thank you. So before we conclude, I did like to reiterate that Aarti Drugs is entering a key growth phase, where multiple strategic initiatives undertaken over the last 2 years are starting to converge. We expect to see the impact of these efforts more visibly in the coming quarters as utilization improves, product mix strengthens, and new capacities begin contributing meaningfully to profitability. Our focus remains on disciplined execution, operational excellence, and continuous enhancement of technological capabilities across our value chains. Thank you for your continued support and trust in Aarti Drugs. For any further queries, please reach out to SGA, our investor relations advisors. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.